Blog Talk Radio.
Part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Fighting Words is a five-day-a-week radio network with San Clemente Punk on Monday. Tuesday is Big Dog Radio with Big Dog Benny Henderson. Wednesday is Sports Night with Tommy G and Butch and Don Henderson. Thursday is McGee's Backroom, which is on a bit of a hiatus, but I think we're going to run some reruns of his. And Saturday, the Fighting Words Radio Network flagship show, Fighting Words. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for downloading. These shows and all shows on the Fighting Words Radio Network are dedicated in the memory and to the memory of my brother, Robert Anthony Carroll. He was the creator and first host ever of Fighting Words in Fighting Words Radio Network. He was the owner and creator of the Fighting Words Radio Network. Tragically, we lost Bob June 18th of 2011. He was tragically murdered, and we miss him a great deal. But we want everybody to remember that we do this because we love the music, and that's why we're back on. We're going to lead off tonight with some – oh, you know what? I don't have a guest tonight. I'm trying to get the Slow Children guys on for early December. I'm also trying to get Supreme Commander on for an interview. I'll have those guys at some point. But we are going to have next weekend is, I'm really excited about this. The hardcore band Strife will be on the show. Actually, it's going to be, where is it? It's going to be Andrew from Strife. Oh, here it is. So we're going to have Strife on. Andrew Klein, who's a guitarist, will be on for an interview. And Strife has a new album out, which is absolutely fucking thing kicks ass. And I want to play some tonight, but I don't want to play it before I get the chance to play it. You know, with as Andrew as my guest, but there's a couple different places you can listen to it, and I suggest you do because it's a great album. It's a new one. It's called Witness a Rebellion, or Witness a Rebirth, rather. I may actually load a song or two. we're going to start off tonight with Agnostic Front. This is Agnostic Front with Strength. Okay, that was Agnostic Front with Strength. We're going to move on now to Battalion of Saints. It's Battalion of Saints with My Mind's Diseased.
We'll be right back.
Okay. That's Italian Saints of My Mind's Disease. This is Sex Pistols with Bodies.
Bye.
Okay, that was Rival Schools with Ring It Out. So Warbird Entertainment record label band Carbomb put out Nose Before Toes last year to rave reviews, and it's really a great album. I suggest you guys can check it out on Warbird Entertainment Records, actually warbirdentertainment.com. But they may be playing Punk Rock Bowling this year, which I'm really looking forward to. This is Carbomb with Deegan and Scara. Sorry, guys, the board was acting up quite a bit. We're going to move on to Judge. Judge was formed when John Porcelli and Mike Ferrero started the band back in 1987. Porcelli actually released the first 7-inch on Schism, which he and Alex Brown had started. And, you know, it was all part of the New York crew. But Mike and Porcell when they put the band together, it was such a dramatically honest band in their convictions and what they sang about, and it really came across. And I think that's what made it so good was not only Porcell singing, but Mike Judge, as he became known, really poured honesty and belief into all of his lyrics. And that's what made him so good, and that's what makes him iconic. You know, I interviewed Porcell a while back, but, you know, these guys, you know, if you've never heard of them, then you've been living under a fucking rock. Because Judge absolutely, and the song I'm about to play, The Storm, which is my favorite, Judge absolutely redefined for everyone the genre of hardcore, the genre of straight-edge hardcore anyway. The fact that, you know, they were so brutally honest about their beliefs and what they sang about, that it made them such an iconic and great band. This is Judge with The Storm. Okay, guys, that was Judge. That was Mike Judge and Porcell and the boys with The Storm. Jerry's Kids, band out of Boston, one of the Boston crew. This is Jerry's Kids with Raise the Curtains.
Raise the Curtain, take one.
What is this?
Okay, that was Jerry Schitz with Raise the Curtain. Like I said, they were a Boston-based band. They were part of the DYS Slapshot Boston crew that really put Boston on the map. They were part of the This is Boston, Not L.A. Album. Actually came out as vinyl back then. It wasn't CDs. It was either tape or vinyl. A couple weeks ago, we were going to have Black Dahlia on as our guest, and it just we weren't able to hook up. I got an email into him. Hopefully, we'll get him back on again. But Dwarves being one of my favorite bands, I was really excited to get those, you know, get Black on, and we'll catch up with him at some point. I promised him to you guys, and we'll get him on. But the Dwarves started out in Chicago as Suburban Nightmares in the mid-'80s, and then, you know, moved to San Francisco and became, you know, really came into their own as the Dwarves. But Blag and He Who Cannot Be Named really put the band on the map. He Who Cannot Be Named, of course, plays sans pants most of the time. But this is one of my favorite songs by the Dwarves. This is the Dwarves with, ironically enough, Salt Lake City.
Anything I wouldn't do for you, except for one thing that you want me to. We went across the mighty Rio Grande and saw Disneyland and the sea, you and me. But there's one thing I never do, not even for you, not even for you, not even for you.
Okay, it was the Dwarves with Salt Lake City. Ironically enough, being that I'm out of Salt Lake City, I certainly hope those guys come back. We're going to move on now to the Heels. The Heels are Mike McManus's band that he started with several of the guys that used to be in the Pagan Babies with him. The band, you can find them on Facebook. But the... No, I don't. I thought I had something up here about them, but I can't find it. But Dan McGinnis and the guy, Mike McManus, started the band up. This is my favorite song by the Heels. This is Back in the Day. okay, that was the heels with back in the day. And like I said, they kind of rose out of the ashes, the Pagan Babies, who were legendary in Philadelphia, you know, the city I grew up in. The Fix, though, no, I'm going to do the Generators first. The Generators, of course, Dougie Dagger was one of my guests on the show a while back. And great show. But they released a new album on DC Jam Records. You can check them out, DC Jam. DC Jam, not Jams. DCJamRecords.com. You can check those guys out and you know, give them a listen. But this is off that album. This is You Against You. Okay, that was the Generators on their DC Jam record release, which just came out, it was about a year ago. The Fix is a hardcore punk band out of Lansing, Michigan. They were one of the Touch and Go Records' first bands. Steve Miller, Craig Calvert, and Mike Achtenberg and Jeff Wellman were the band, The Fix. And actually, their first 7-inch on The Vengeance and In This Town actually sells for quite a bit if you have it. I don't have it anymore. I used to have it. I wish I still had it because the last one on eBay sold for $3,500, which sucks because I sold mine at a – I believe my parents sold it at a garage sale without my – they owe me $3,500. But this is The Fix with Off the War.
I'm gonna be one of us.
Okay, that was The Fix with Off the War. We had Josh from The Insurgents on a couple weeks back. Great interview. This is The Insurgents off of their new album, Dear Leader. Okay, that was Dear Leader off of the Insurgents' new album, Elimination, which is out on Digital Warfare Records, just recently dropped. You can find those guys, of course, on Facebook and Reverb Nation and everything. And Elimination is actually a great album for those of you guys that like thrash and, you know, kind of the Zeke, DRI vein. You can check those guys out. Very, very good band. And if you missed the interview with Josh, you can still search back a couple weeks and find that. You know, I did the interview with Josh. Great interview, by the way. If I have to say so myself. This is The Lucky Ones with Great Minds Drink Alike. Okay, that was The Lucky Ones with Great Minds Drink Alike. That is off of their 2012, or 11 rather, Heartbreak, Hangover, and Punk Rock on Stumble Records. They're out of St. Catherine, Canada. The band consists of Steve Stumble, Robbie Knuckles, Chris Nowicki, or the Doctor, Eric Hutt, and Matt Three-Pack Murphy. I've got, you know, I'm going to play more of those guys. I've got the album, and it's actually a really, really good album. You can find those guys on Facebook under The Lucky Ones. Check those guys out. Very good band, very hardworking band. Someone asked me to play this again. So Bobby Steele was on my show a while back, and I'm trying to get a hold of him again because I'd love to get him back on. He's a great guest. But Bobby Steele told a story about how the London Dungeon record, or, well, song came about. The accepted story is that Bobby Steele and Glenn Danzig were standing outside of a venue waiting for the jam to start and were jumped by skinheads. Apparently, that is not at all true. That is a story that, and Bobby doesn't say where that story came from, but this is the true story, according to Bobby Steele, of what happened and how the song came to be. We call it the London Dungeon story, and by far, this is one of the best interviews I ever did. And, you know, Bobby's story had me in stitches. So this is Bobby Steele's version of how the London Dungeon song came to be.
And that kind of segues into my next question.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby, you and Danzig spent two nights in the Brixton jail after a fight outside the jam show during the events prior, and this led to penning one of the best songs the Misfits wrote, at least I think, London Dungeon. How did this impact you as a person?
Okay, well, actually, there was no fight. Okay, it's really funny because, like, we had gone to go to the jam show. We got there early, so we went into this bar that was across the street from the Rainbow Theater, and we were sitting having beers, and Glenn was pretty blitzed, and he kept telling me that there was, like, this gang of skinheads in the back of the bar that were conspiring against us. Okay, now, I saw no skinheads, okay, and how he could tell somebody a distance away was conspiring against us, I didn't know, okay? So it started getting kind of annoying because he was just ranting about, like, these skinheads who wanted to start something with us. So I finally said, Glenn, just give me some money. I'm going to go get something to eat. And I split, and I went to a fish and chip shop, got an order of chips, and I'm walking back, and as I'm approaching the Rainbow Theater, I see Glenn squatting on the sidewalk. So I get closer. When I get closer, I see he's got a piece of glass in his hand that he's sharpening. These bouncers come running out of the theater and grab Glenn and drag him inside. Now, I don't know what the hell is going on, okay? So I run to Glenn's rescue, and I throw my bag of chips into, like, one of the bouncer's faces. So somebody else grabs me and holds me down. Now, I had been at the Rainbow the night before for the damn show. And so I was, so one of the bouncers recognized me from the night before and said, oh, he's okay, let him go. And they let me go, but they had the cops come and take Glenn away. Now, Glenn had all the money on him because he didn't trust me holding my own money. He was like, Bobby, you'll lose it. So now I'm stranded at the Rainbow Theater in a neighborhood in London that I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get back home except to, like, flag a cab and give him the address. So I'm stuck. So I figure, well, let me go to the police station and see if I can get them to have Glenn give me my money so I can take a cab home. Okay? I walk over to the police station, and I'm, you know, and I plead my case to them, and they're just being, like, really, like, rude to me. Okay? So now I'm also, like, kind of, like, loaded on beer, and I got to piss. So I ask them if I can use their bathroom, and they refuse. So I leave, and I'm walking up the street looking for a phone. I figure I'll get to a phone booth, I'll call the U.S. Embassy and try to get help from them. Right?
Right.
They refused my call. So I figure, okay, I'm stuck in this, like, neighborhood of London. I don't know if it's a safe neighborhood. I don't know if it's a dangerous neighborhood. Okay, I'm fucked up. I'm tired. So I figure I'm going to go back to the police station and demand to use the bathroom. If they don't let me, I'll just piss on the floor, get myself arrested. And at least I'll be safe for the night. Okay? Well, it didn't quite work out that way. As I approached the police station again, the head of security from the Rainbow Theater and one of his bouncers comes, like, walking out, spots me, and starts threatening me, okay? And he's challenging me to a fight, okay? Now, you got to picture these two big British thug guys, probably each one's, like, 6'4", weighing, you know, a couple of hundred pounds, challenging a 115-pound cripple to a fight. Okay, and, you know, saying, come on around the corner, we'll kick your ass. And I'm just kind of like, dude, chill the fuck out, you know. I finally got fed up and I spit on him. Well, this is like, in England, you could rape the queen. It's not as bad as spitting, apparently. Okay,
right.
Next thing
right.
I know, these bobbies come charging out of the police station and arrest me. They start shoving me into the police station, okay. Now, I'm kind of like I said, I'm like really stoned, okay? So I decide I'm going to have a little fun with these cops. So as they shove me, I fall and I hit the floor. And I pretend to be unconscious. Okay, I'm like, let's see what they do, right? If they think they've hurt somebody, right? So they kind of poke me a little bit, and I don't come to. So they grab me by my ankles, and they drag me into a room. And they throw water on me. And I kind of pretend to be coming to, and I'm, like, looking up around me, and there's all these cops, you know, in their body uniforms with the cute little hats and stuff, you know,
right.
Looking down
right.
at me, you know. And there's this one that I just remember, he looked like Peter Noon, who was a singer for Herman's Hermits, a band from, like, the early 60s, okay?
Right.
And
right.
he looked very gay, okay? He had this very big smile, and he's very teethy, and, you know, he's, like, looking at me, and I'm, like, I got these skin-tight leather pants on, a leather jacket. And he, like, looks at me, and he says, are you gay? So I, like, look at him, and I look around at the other cops, and I just, like, break into a smile, and I say to him, why? So right away they realize I'm a wise ass. And they hear my accent, and they go, oh, you're a Yank. And I says, yeah, what about it? And one of them says, you're Richard Nixon's a crook. And I said, I know, and your queen's a whore. So they beat me up. I was just like, I just made a complete joke of the whole time. We spent like, you know, two nights in Brixton. And my whole thought, I mean, the one thing that struck me was, it was like during the whole Iran-Contra thing when all these Americans were being, I mean, not Iran-Contra, but the Iranian hostage crisis, okay? And I wake up in the morning, they throw in a newspaper into my cell. And the headline says World War III. And all I can think is, like, World War III is going to break out, and I'm going to be forgotten in a British fucking prison. Yeah. Fortunately, everything worked out fine. We got out. We had to, like, pay, like, $50 in fines, £50 in fines, whatever it was. and that was that, you know. But it was a lot of fun, and, you know, it makes for a great story now. You know, when me and Glenn were being held in a cell at the courthouse, I turned to Glenn, and I told Glenn, I said, you know, you should write a song about this and call it London Dungeon. Okay, we had gotten these brochures for like this London Dungeon Museum thing and stuff like that, you know, a few days earlier. So it was like in my head. And so we were sitting in this like holding cell. Okay, it's got to be like hundreds of years old. And it's like one of these rooms is perfectly square. It's like a cube. And the walls are painted with this enamel paint, so it's very reflective and it's got an echo to it. And Glenn just like started slapping on his knees the drum beat to London Dungeon. And started like humming that boom, 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 boom. And like the two of us sitting in the cell, slapping our thighs to the fucking drum beat and like singing the riff was just like this great sound. And like from that point on, Glenn just like a few days later, he like taught us a song.
Well, I tumbled and at 2 a.m. all drunk and full of smoke. My wife said I have had enough, that said I'm sick, get out! So I stumbled down to Kelly's pub, across the edge of town. And I told the boys my story, and we had another round. Now drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, spike.
Hey!
We'll drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, spike.
Hey!
And I might see a pretty girl, I'll sleep with her tonight. Yes, I'll drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, drink it, spike.
Jump right into Bucko 9, Irish Drink Song. And that song is actually wrongly contributed to the Dropkick Murphys by just about everybody and their mother, but if they really look into it, it's actually Bucko 9. That was their bassist singing that. But being that we played the Bobby Steele London Dungeon story, we're going to play the Misfits with, let me cue it up here, the Misfits with London Dungeon. This is Glenn Danzig, Bobby Steele, and the boys with London Dungeon.
Cause holy
with London Dungeon, the song that Bobby Steele actually discussed with us a while back. And I really want to get him back on. He was such a good guest and just a hell of a nice guy. You can actually you can search Bobby Steele, San Clemente Funk, on Google, and you can actually listen to the show. We're gonna move on now to where is it? Birds Eye Fire is a band out of Athens, Georgia, currently unsigned, very good band. This is Bringing the Haymaker. Okay, that was the Athens, Georgia-based Burns Like Fire.
very good friends with the Car Bomb guys. Nick Fitz from Car Bomb actually turned me on to those guys. Josh and the boys in Brothers Like Fire, great, great band. So Broken Bottles was a band that I was first, you know, I listened to quite a bit here and there, but I really, really liked some of the stuff they put on the Tale of Rotten Orange comp. Tragically, it was released posthumously for Jesse Rich, who died of a drug overdose in 2010, December 8th, 2010. Known as Jess the Mess, pretty much throughout their career. The band started in 2000. When Jess and his brother started up the band. And it's really a shame that Jesse died, because the band was poised to really, really, really do great things. This is Broken Bottles with Stars and Stripes. Okay, that was the Buzzcocks with Ever Fallen in Love. We're going to move on now to Channel 3. This is Channel 3 with Catholic Boy. Okay, that was Lower Class Brats with Ultraviolence. This is M Section with Swimming in Flannel. Okay, that was M Section out of Santa Rosa, California, with Swimming in Flannel. This is the Cro-Mags with Don't Tread on Me. On that because I don't give a shit. I still like their music. We're going to move on now to the Crucifix, who were around for a while, and I'm going to get more into those guys in a sec, but this is the Crucifix with Wisconsin.
Going anywhere with you was a special thing. And I never was on the
Okay, that was Doc Dart or Doc Corbin Dart's band, the Crucifix. The band started off with Doc or Doc Corbin or whatever. Doc Dart, basically. Cousin Joe on guitar. Scott Fagerson on bass. And Steve Shelley, who went on to play with Sonic Youth, was the original drummer. They started out in 81, although the LP, their first LP was in 84, and then there was a revolving door of drummers and guitarists and bassists, with Doc Dart being the only constant. Interesting, though, Doc, in 2006, he started calling himself 26. He renounced swear words and said as well as his former group's name or moniker. Doc was always just a really weird dude. He was actually the nephew of the guy who owned, was it nephew or son? I can't remember. He ran for mayor in 1989, but he was the son of Roland Dart, who was the former chair of Dart National Bank, as well as being related to the Dart Container people. But anyway, let's move on. This is, Dag Nasty with Justification. Records as well. You can check those guys out. is down by law with Punk One.
Yeah.
That was Long Shot off the Realignment album, which was their last EP, actually. And it's a shame because those guys were really good. MC5 was a band from Linkin Park, Michigan. They formed in 64 with Rob Tyner, Wayne Kramer, Fred Smith, Michael Davis, and Dennis Thompson. Really were part of the counterculture movement and had very far left leaning political ideas, and really were one of the first garage punk bands in the United States. Unfortunately, the band has had some deaths. Rob Tyner died in 1991 of a heart attack. Fred Smith died in 1994. And then they actually reformed in 2003 with Handsome Dick Manitoba singing for them from the Dictators. But then Michael Davis, who was the bassist, died in in February of this year. Well, liver failure. And it's really a shame because these guys were such an instrumental band. And this is actually the most covered punk song of all time. This is MC5 with Kick Out the Jams.
Kick out the jams, motherfucker!
Thank you.
Okay, we got enough time for a couple songs. God, I'm jumping all over the place. Oh, you know what? Mouthpiece, Cinder. Okay, that was Mouthpiece with Cinder, Tim McMahon's band. Still around, still running around, great band still. Still straight edge to this day. Great guys, Tim and the boys, really great guys. This is Naked Ray Gun with New Dreams.
Got new dreams. I said I got new dreams. Got new dreams and I'm gonna make them real.
Okay, we got time for a couple more songs. I'm trying to play as many as I can that are short. Let's see what else I got here. Because I don't want to play any of my real long ones. This is Off. Keith from Turtle Dirks, who's Keith Morris's band, Off. This is Panic Attack.
Panic Attack!
Okay. Let's see what else we got here. You know what? Tagging babies. I played the Heels. Dan McGinnis and Mike McManus' old band, Pagan Babies. This is Pagan Babies with Stories of Old.
Jack, who looked like a Jill and smelled like a John.
Nazi, never again. We'll be right back.
Okay, guys, we got time for one more song. This is, and we're going to finish it off for the night. Next week, of course, we have Andrew from Strife as our guest. This is Problem Daughter, though. We're going to finish it off tonight with Salt Lake City's own Problem Daughter. This is Problem Daughter with Breathe Comfortably. We'll see you guys next week.
Let's forget we're trying to fall in love all night. The sake of the land would save us, and now who will? Let's get fucked up tonight.